Chapter 17. A Moment's Respite. The Demi-Legio gathered in the shadow of Jinsu Hive's broken mountain. The Hive's death had scattered debris for miles around, turning that part of the Hanjin Wastes into a junkyard landscape, riven with crevasses and sinkholes where subterranean levels had caved in. The weather on Beta Garmin 3 was almost always dangerous, but a rare clear evening revealed the sky. The atmosphere's thinness allowed the dark of space to show, even while the sun still shone, a blue as deep as a failing void shield. In the harsh light of Beta Garmin, the devastation of Jinsu looked worse, incomprehensibly vast, a human anthill kicked in by a callous god. The fires burning in Jinsu's remains would not go out for decades. Smudgy tracks of dark brown straggled skywards over the jagged peaks of the ruins. To the southwest, the diamond necklace of the Chymist's Sea garlanded the horizon, white waves rushing upwards around cliffs of broken plasteel. The Demi-Legio scouted for some time to find a site suitable for the landing of the void ships. A little to the north, there was plenty of space, with no cover from the elements or the enemy. Further south, the enemy would first have to pass through the debris fields, and there, in the maze of chasms and steel, Escher decided their attack would be easier to break up and halt. Once a suitable site had been discovered, the Legio stopped its pacing and waited for their reinforcements, tensely hoping the Phasadians would arrive before their enemies. As the sun rode the sky twice, and neither friends nor foe came, Escher ordered the crews to sleep in rota, no more than 4 hours each, while others watched over them. In the meantime, Baravi Hanto and the Bond Knights of Procon Vi joined their mistresses, and something approaching a strong force began to take shape. Escher found it hard to rest. She constantly refreshed the comms log, looking for the arrival of the Phasadian Reinforcement Regiment. There were worrying gaps in their capabilities. A high proportion of the fights in the cluster were pure engine-on-engine affairs. The Garmanite worlds had suffered from long occupation by mankind, and their environments were often too harsh for lesser troops and machines. Her Demi-Legio was well equipped to deal with that kind of battle, but despite its deadly weather, Beta Garmin 3 allowed all manner of warriors to fight, and a Legio without infantry support was vulnerable to certain forms of attack. Sometimes infantry needed to be opposed by infantry. The sun went down. Wind blew salt-laden dust across the Titans standing in the dark. Their banners snapped. Escher's need to sleep would not be denied any longer. There was enough force in the breeze to rock the giant machines on their legs. The Zella cockpit swayed. Domine Ex Venari's soul was a vast, comforting presence, a guardian beast who would watch over Escher and protect her without question. The command throne was warm. Her head nodded. Together, Titan and Princeps slept, and Escher's dreams that night were the strange visions of machines. There was no pain like childbirth. The few women in the Legio who had undergone its ordeal came to her one by one while Escher was confined in her rooms awaiting the day. Towards the end, she found it hard to get out of the door of her mean little quarters, and certainly could not command Bestia Est. The women arrived shyly, bearing her small gifts, and then they warned her, telling of the blood, tears, and bodily indignities with grim little smiles. They seemed to relish sharing, but not to torment, she realized almost straight away. These women had a look to them no others did. Their faces shone when they spoke of their daughters' achievements. She was surprised to hear that the few who had had boys kept themselves informed about their sons' progress through the priesthood. After the third of them came to visit her, she knew for sure they were not attempting to frighten her, but were instead welcoming her into their sisterhood within a sisterhood. They were mothers, the role evolution had forced upon the female sex, and yet so few got to experience it in the Legio. She'd never thought about it much, but it seemed sacred now she approached her own labour, and certain of the legends of Parcmetris made more sense to her. The Magos Medicae who tended to the physical well-being of the Legio crews dispassionately laid out the procedures to be used. The gruesomeness of his descriptions was worsened by the detached tone of his voxmeter. There would be pain, ruptures, potential organ damage. Parts of her that she would rather a knife never come near might need to be cut to facilitate the birth. She could even die. "I apologize for these inconveniences," said the Magos, as dully as if the lumens in her quarters were inactive and he had no time to spare to fix them. "The human brain is among the greatest accomplishments of the machine god, a device given us so that we might improve upon it for his satisfaction and our enlightenment. But in order for us to comprehend the workings of the universe, our cognitive center has to be large. This makes childbirth dangerous for human females. It always has been, and is still."
"Right," Esher said. "All hail the machine god in his wisdom."
Worry made her more than a little blasphemous. The Magos was too far past humanity to hear the irony in her voice, but carried on his relentless explanation.
"It all serves a purpose, of course. It is a rite of passage. The pain will activate certain chemical processes within you that will bond you and make rearing the infant easier."
"I will love it," she said, "because it will hurt me."
It sounded ridiculous. His explanation probably was, but she would love it, she knew. She felt it as surely as a star warms its planets and brings forth life from the sea. The machine god decreed it to be so.
"A crude and imprecise way of encapsulating the marvels of neurochemistry," said the Magos aloofly. "But if you prefer, then yes, you will."
Before he left, while he was packing away his instruments back into the slots in his torso, he said,
"If you wanted to be a mother, I really do not understand why you did not petition for cloning. Your combat record is exemplary. The Legio would have gladly acquiesced."
Esher's hand strayed to her swollen stomach protectively.
"It just happened."
"Nothing ever just happens, Esher. The Machina Cosma does not work that way."
This short conversation did not help much, and neither the other mothers nor the Magos prepared her adequately for what actually occurred. She never knew such pain. It was like no insult ever done to her body before, going beyond even the sympathetic agony she experienced when her engine took a direct hit. All sense of deference to her superiors and those others who attended her was forgotten. She swore a lot, and cursed them all. But when it was over, and she held the snuffling infant in her arms, she knew for a fact the Magos was correct about something. She did love her child. Unconditionally. She nuzzled the small damp head, enchanted by the smell, part her, part the baby's father, but together a unique scent, all of its own, as every human being is unique. Esher believed in the machine god absolutely, and was awed by his miracles, but never had she seen anything as miraculous as that child. They called the place she recovered in a convalescence chamber, as if there was something wrong, as if she had been ill. Men had named the place. Men were blind. But so were some women. Johanny Johan was late to come and visit her in the Medicaid facility. So late, Esher thought she would not come. The day was over. The sun had just gone down, but there were windows high up in the room wall that were still rectangles of orange. Rhomboids slanted from them high onto the opposite wall. They were golden, warm. Johanny was, by contrast, cold. Her eyes glinted darkly in the shadows by the door. Esher smiled to see her friend, but something about Johanny's manner put her on her guard. She hugged her child close. Instinct warned her. She was suddenly afraid of her friend.
"It's all finished, then," said Johanny Johan. "Here she is."
Esher moved around in her bed to show off her precious bundle. but kept her close. She did not offer the infant up to be held, as she had done for all the other women who had visited.
She is to be called Abhani Lusmahana.
She looked down at Abhani proudly.
Granddaughter of the great mother herself.
Jahani stayed by the door.
You can't mean to keep her.
Jahani's attitude was hostile.
Why not?
Said Esher. There was no gene contract made between me and her father. There is no bargain to be honoured. She is a happy accident, and therefore she is a scion of Procon Vai and Legio Solaria alone.
Is that so? Said Jahani.
Why are you being this way? Said Esher.
Her friend moved closer and peered down at the sleeping child.
She's the bastard of bastards, said Jahani coldly.
She gestured at the curl of red hair on the baby's crown, the pale skin.
She even looks like one of them. She's not one of us.
Esher was hot and tired, her skin stretched with fluids and emotion. Her abdomen was slack, the muscles weakened, and her groin was a mess of stitching and fading pain. But in that moment, she would have fought Jahani to the death if she threatened the child, and she would have won. Jahani Jahan made no move, but stared with hatred at her child.
The Imperium of Man is not concerned with the appearance of its citizens. The Mechanicum even less so, Jahani. Why aren't you happy for me? She is one of us.
Is she? I watched her father burn 50,000 innocent people for a point that did not need to be made.
She is not her father.
A little passion entered Jahani.
How do you know she will not grow to be like him? Evil like that is carried in the genes, my sister. Dispose of it. It is the right thing to do.
She looked at Abhani like she was a thing.
I will do nothing to her, she said.
Jahani stood suddenly and backed away in a display of shame and anger.
Then you have gained a daughter, but lost a sister. I hope you think the price right.
With those words she left, leaving their friendship discarded behind her.
One day, you will fight alongside this girl, and you will see that you were wrong, Jahani Jahan,
Esher called after. But her friend was gone out into the dark corridor. Esher felt a stab of pain. It could not diminish how she felt for her daughter. There was no love like it. Jahani Jahan simply could not compete.